boy. Yeah. Our listeners, we've been having a good time with the product of this. The person we're going to be talking to is a co-founder, big honcho of the company. And Joe Raya, did I get that right?
Yes.
Raja. That one? Hello? Is it Raya?
Yes.
Raya.
Raya. Yeah, Raya.
Okay, very good. Raya, right. You did tell me that beforehand. Anyhow, we're going to be talking about your company, which is Bitter Milk, which is, you have to explain that name to me, and particularly the brand we've been sampling under the brand name Tippelman's. Do I have that all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Tell us the company, Bitter Milk. Tell us what that is, what all it encompasses, and then also lead into what Tippelman's is and how you started this current product.
Great. Yes. So our company is called Bitter Milk. We make handcrafted cocktail mixers for professional bartenders or bar enthusiasts. It's a very old-fashioned brand in that the way that we make our products is in a very old-fashioned way. And even our number one product is actually an old-fashioned. We like the name Bitter Milk because it has the word bitter in it, which we thought was important. Cocktail mixers or cocktails that are just like sweet and sour aren't very complex. Bitterness just adds that additional complexity and makes a cocktail worth drinking. And it kind of sounds like buttermilk, which is like a kind of makes you think of an old-fashioned Southern company, which is really what we are. We started Bitter Milk after being bartenders in our own bar for a little while.
Right.
And we started with the goal of making, at first at our bar, the best old-fashioned that you could make. That was the goal at the bar. And then with Bitter Milk, we were trying to, an old-fashioned is the type of drink that people could go to 10 bars along the same street and order an old-fashioned and get a different one at each one of those bars. And not because it's complicated, because it's about the simplest drink you can make, but just because there's a lot of differences of opinion on how it should be made. So we just wanted to make a product that allowed a consumer or a restaurant or bar to be able to make a consistent, perfect old-fashioned every time with tons of complexity, the right amount of viscosity, the right amount of sweetness, the right amount of bitterness. So that was the goal with the beginning of the company. Our latest offshoot with the Tippelman's brand is to make syrups that have tons of flavor and punch that can withstand, strong coffee or strong flavored desserts, other pastry and cooking applications, but really complex and strong flavors with raw cane sugar from Florida.
Well, what made you think we needed that?
Well, I will occasionally like to make a special drink or fancy coffee, the products that were on the market were very kind of neutral a bit in flavor and not super pronounced. Sometimes you have to use, to get the flavor, you kind of have to use maybe more than the sweetness that you want. Our goal was to create a nice balance of strong syrups that could withstand other strong flavors. In development, we haven't pushed them out quite yet. We're almost ready to make ones that are also no sugar added with all natural ingredients, which is very hard to find now that actually tastes good.
Right. I mean, that no sugar.
Yeah, we developed a few flavors using allulose, which is like a natural, it's a natural sweetener, but doesn't get digested like sugar. So it's actually pretty cool, and the flavors are great.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
My favorite cocktail above all other cocktails is actually better known in the area around New Orleans rather than where you guys are located. What is it? What's it called? The drink that I like so much.
Maybe it's Sazerac.
That's it.
That's
That's it,
that.
baby. It's a Sazerac. We were at a restaurant run by John Besh in New Orleans one time, and he I think they served us five or six Sazerac.
That's enough.
And we said we're never coming to this museum of the American cocktail ever again. But seriously, let's talk a little bit about the composition of this
Good.
syrup of the gods, here we call it.
Nice.
What's in a one of those that you make?
So, with the Tippelmann's coffee syrups, they're first of all this they're simplistic in composition but complex in flavor. And we start with cane sugar, raw cane sugar from Florida. The cane sugar, like when you get normal processed white sugar, it's like doesn't really have much of a smell. It has sweetness, but it doesn't bring much else to the composition. And when we receive sugar, it's very aromatic. You can smell the sugar coming in when a truck's getting unloaded. And that's how that you have a product that that represents its origin well, rather than being processed to the point where it's been neutralized. So we start with that sugar, and then we partner with a flavor house in North Carolina, where we get all of our flavoring made all natural, and it's all about composing the perfect like aromatic expression of the simple flavor represented. And so we work to, when we say caramel, we want every bit of the bouquet of caramel that you could possibly imagine to be like represented in this aromatic. When we tried, we tried, just caramelizing sugar, which we do all the time for different products, but that we needed like strong aromatic complexity, and that's where these the flavor scientists came in to really put together natural flavor with like very strong, intense aromatics and punchiness.
I want to ask a quick, I want to tell her, I had a quick question because I think it's a natural derivation of what you're doing now. We were at a cocktail party in Charleston, South Carolina one time, and they served only when one liquid beverage, and it's very it's not a simple syrup exactly, but sweetheart, remind me what
I don't remember.
Was the bourbon that everybody said is the best bourbon in the world?
Oh, what's the best bourbon?
Well, Pappy? Are you talking about Pappy?
Pappy Van Winkle.
Pappy Van Winkle.
Yeah, that was it. And I sort of wondered in my imagination whether or not there might not be one of those in the future of these wonderful things that you make now.
Tipplements.
Buttermilk tipplements. Really trips up the tongue, isn't it?
So, what was the cocktail? What was the cocktail being made, or was it just the bourbon?
It was mostly just the bourbon. Which is,
was it made into an old fashioned?
I have a feeling we might have done something really blasphemous, like put a couple of rocks in it.
Yeah, I don't remember it. I don't remember
you stood at the counter with an old fashioned in one hand and an old fashioned in the other hand.
Yeah. I mean, you talk a lot about flavor, which is really hard to describe flavor. But you have how many flavors and what are they?
We started out with, I think it's 7 flavors. And it's kind of like rattling them off quick. It's like remembering all the names of your kids. Once you get past 3 or so, it takes a second. But we have caramel and vanilla and mocha, which are kind of like pretty normal. Hazelnut, lavender, chai.
Yeah, that one's odd. The lavender is really an odd flavor to put into the syrup. But go ahead.
Then we have Irish cream. And I think that's it. I think I said hazelnut. Lavender is actually one of the top flavors in boutique coffee shops in the U.S. right now to do like a lavender latte. Yeah. And it does sound a little, it sounds adventuresome, but it is really nice, especially paired with the vanilla, like vanilla lavender latte. It really kind of lightens up the whole mood a bit with the coffee. And it's really pleasant. But it's really, you have to be careful because you don't want the lavender, syrup to remind you of soap. You know, you want it to be more of a delicate, floral aromatic, rather than kind of like dense and soapy, in flavor.
Well, now I think I can claim to be one of the most unusual cocktail selectors and drinkers anyway, but the idea of a sweet beverage that's really a cocktail in disguise is really rather a different thing. But I've found that I can enjoy each of your beverages, which I've already tried, and I picked myself up the floor a few times in the process of doing that, but I think there's one of your beverages that I haven't drunk yet, only one, and I was the tester, as you can imagine. So as the tester, I felt the need to enjoy every single one of your flavors. And
awesome!
It's amazing. It's amazing because the flavor is sweet, but it's just goddamn delicious.
And it's different, one to the other, yeah.
In a different kind of way. So the only thing I'm doing that's different with the flavors I've tried so far, more than one, I might add. I forgot what I was going to say.
Put them in black.
I would only add water. That's all.
Yeah, well, that's not what the company recommends, though. Joe, you say you can add these syrups to a whole variety of things. Like, what kind of things?
Yeah, absolutely. My wife makes some caramel cookies that are pretty delicious. My daughter is infatuated with waffles, and so we can find, you know, different uses for all of those with that. It's really fun to make, we call it in our house, special drinks, but it's basically just anything that's, you know, anything that's not water. It's kind of like maybe an afternoon beverage. But it's fun to make, a really fancy iced coffee or tea or something in the afternoon that's not, it doesn't have to have alcohol. It can just be a nice sort of special drink to have and kind of pick me up in the afternoon. But we find plenty of uses with that.
Tell me when you add this to baked goods.
Well, you can add it in the recipe as you're mixing and bringing it together. Also, you like in the form of cakes, you can moisten the cake, like soak the cakes with. You just add a little bit of water to the syrups. And you can use it as a soaking agent. You could also add alcohol, like, you know, caramel and bourbon as soaking in a cake. Really, really good. A lot of different opportunities.
Could I ask as an aside, what is that animal in your logo?
A badger.
I guessed it. Why?
He's a badger that always gets himself into sticky situations.
Ah, there you go. That's sticky. the stickiness.
Oh, wonderful.
My native land would probably come up with an even more different name for this beverage than we have applied. Right here.
Like what?
Because badgers are endemic in the British countryside.
Hello?
Oh, wow. Yep.
You're still there, right?
Yes, sir.
and is accusing me of terminating your delivery. But I'm sure it's still out there for those people who want to investigate the fringes of the cocktail scene with some really brilliant ideas. And
yeah,
we thank you and Mary Elena for joining.
Mary Elena, that's a song.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yep, her dad used to sing that song. In fact, were you ever in Charleston? You might have been at her dad's restaurant. He's a singing chef in Charleston.
Who?
Robert Dixon.
What restaurant is it?
Roberts of Charleston.
No, I don't think we've ever been there.
Okay, one thing I remember.
It was a while ago. It was like he started in 76 and ran it until for about 30 years.
The one I remember best from my early days of visiting Charleston was on one side of the street, the Charleston's Grill, and on the other side of the street, an equally exciting restaurant, the first name.
I can't remember.
He went out on his own after that, but he was across the street from the Charleston Grill.
Right. And that might have been him there, where it's Peninsula Grill now, but it was.
Oh right,
it,
I know
was
the
where,
Peninsula Grill. Yeah, I remember
mm-hmm.
the Peninsula
He was in there
Grill.
Before Peninsula. Yeah.
So, who are you aiming your product at?
When we started making our cocktail mixers, we were really heavily geared towards cocktail enthusiasts and, people who are really like restaurant savvy and that sort of crowd. And we found that as, we have four kids, and as our kids get older, a lot of our friends have kind of changed into being, instead of being restaurateurs and that sort of crowd, a lot of our friends are our kids' friends' parents, and so we've been opened up to an entirely different groups of people that like just being in kind of relationship with these people, I feel like it's kind of changed some of our perspective in where we're trying to the type of crowd that we're trying to make products for, and really we're trying to make very accessible products and very high quality products with good value, but just make them better, so we've tried to widen our demographic quite a bit, especially through the syrup line, because we want to make products that people don't feel intimidated to use. They see it and it looks good, and they want to try it and and take it away.
Wow. Well, listen, I'll keep us posted on of your next direction, your new flavors, and we could actually endorse this one. Peter has some every day.
Glad to hear it.
So, anyhow. But it was fun talking to you, Joe. And say hello to Maria Elena also. And much continued success. Hello,
Thank
my
you
shoe
so much.
Store in Charleston.
It was a pleasure
okay?
talking to you both. Thank you so much.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Keep turning it off, but just not on.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.